الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وحبيب ربنا وطبيبنا ومولانا محمد عبد الله ورسوله. Respected elders and brothers in Islam, we are quite aware that in this month, the month of June, unfortunately, there is a push and there is a drive to advance and forward an agenda. And many of us are aware of this pro-homosexual, lesbian agenda that is being promoted globally, unfortunately. And there's no shortage of it in our country as well, being one of the most liberal constitutions in the world, and one of the first 5 countries in the world that had legalized such an unnatural act and such unnatural behavior. Now, where do we come in as Muslims? One is the constitutional challenges we face as a minority living in this country. But I want to draw our attention to our responsibility as Muslims, Muslim parents, Muslim elders, members of Muslim society, as fathers, as mothers, as family members. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majeed, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara wa quduha an-nasu wal hijaratu 'alayha malaikatun ghiladun shidadun la ya'suna Allaha ma amarahum wa yaf'aluna ma yu'marun. A very, very forceful ayat of the Quran Sharif. A very, very scary and frightening ayat of the Quran Sharif, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, O iman walo, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, qu anfusakum, save yourself. First, save yourself. From what? From the fire of Jahannam. Save yourself, wa ahlikum, and save your families from the fire of Jahannam. And what is the fuel of the fire of Jahannam? It's man and stones. The fuel of Jahannam, the thing that will drive the fire of Jahannam. Al-Jannatu haqqun wal-naru haqqun. Jannah is real. It's a reality. It's not something imaginary. It's haqiqat. And Jahannam is haqq also. It's something real. It's a fire. And what is the fuel of that fire? The fuel of that fire is man and stones. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us very categorically that save yourself and save your families from the fire of Jahannam. And we are told what the fuel of that fire is as well. Allah Ta'ala save us and our families and our progeny till the day of Qiyamah from the fire of Jahannam and the adab of Jahannam. So this ayah is a very clear instruction and giving us a very clear message. And it becomes more important to us, especially when we live in secular societies. One is when we live in a Muslim society, then to live in an Islamic environment is perhaps easier. Well, we do not even know anymore. But it's generally easier to live in a Muslim society because everything is conducive to our deen. We are free to practice our deen as it should be practiced or ought to be practiced. We find the presence of Muslims all over. Alhamdulillah, just to give you an example or illustration, just take a country like Turkey. There are over 80,000 masajid in Turkey. Subhanallah. Over 80,000 masajid only in one Muslim country. Like that, if we go to any Muslim country, whether it is Pakistan or Turkey, then we will hear sometimes the cross flow of the adhans. You will hear multiple adhans taking place at the same time. How beautiful it sounds to hear so many people calling to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and inviting us to success. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, to success. But in a non-Muslim society or a secular society like ours, it is even more incumbent upon us to place even more emphasis on the tarbiyah of our children. Not only the tarbiyah of our children, but to ensure that we keep them away from the fire of Jahannam. And we can see the problems we are facing in our society today. It's no secret. The problems, the cry of parents, in every sphere of life, the difficulties that parents are experiencing, whether it is substance abuse, for example, the difficulties that Muslim parents are facing, whether it is abuse of any kind, whether it is this LGBT, and I do not know how many more alphabets they want to add on to it now. So whether it's this LGBT problem that we are facing, leave alone, one is a person is involved in such acts. A person is involved in such acts. The person will be sinful. A person who's involved is mal'oon, he's cursed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who engages in the act of Lut alayhi salam's nation, that person, la'anahullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed that person. And thrice he emphasized it. So that person is mal'oon, he's accursed. But that person is not out of the fold of Islam. Let us understand this clearly. That person is not out of the fold of Islam. That person, we will say, is sinful. He's committing a major sin. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with that person is his prerogative. But a person who justifies such an action, that person utters kufr. That takes a person out of the fold of Islam. So this is the distinction I want to draw. And those younger people who are active on social media, etc., and who know what's trending, because everything today, the whole world has become digital. Everything's digital today. And everything is expressed digitally. There was a time when a person's personal diary was something very private. A person will find on his diary, private and confidential. It mustn't be opened by another person because there's something very, very personal in a person's diary. But today, we want to show the world what we eat, what we do. Every second of our life has to be shown to people. For what's the purpose and intention? That we want to show everyone what we do. We travel somewhere, we want to show them that. We eat something, we want to show that. We wear something, we want to show that. There's nothing private and personal anymore. It is nothing but showing off. Nothing else. It is an expression of riya, of showing off. So there's nothing that we do. And most people out there are not our fans. We fail to understand that there is so much of hasad out there. Most people are not our well-wishers. They harbor envy, malice, hatred, jealousy in their hearts. This is how society is. And yet we want to show the world whatever we do. And how many times our actions cause innocent children sometimes to be affected by nadhar, etc. And nadhar, sometimes it's good and it's bad. Sometimes it's with a good intention and sometimes with a bad intention, evil intent. So how many times those innocent children are affected by nadhar, by hasad, by evil eye? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-aynu haqqun. The evil eye is a reality. It's a reality. These are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let our private and our personal and our family lives remain private and personal as they ought to be. So this is something our young people, we need to explain to them with hikmah, with wisdom, diplomatically, lovingly. We have reached the era in our society where a top-down approach is not conducive. A top-down approach does not work. It's counterproductive today. Those days are gone when there was no Ritalin needed and there was nothing called ADD and AHD and whatever others. You know, six of the best just did the job. Everything just came right. But those days are history now. The way a father can just smack his son and that may not be the correct thing to do also. So it's an era of diplomacy. It's an era of understanding. It's an era of kindness, which we should now bring about where we teach, we make the tarbiyah of our children. So Allah subhanahu, now when we see a child going towards something dangerous in this world, let's for example say there's a fire, it's hot, it's very cold and there's a very hot fire, there's a fireplace on, just to enjoy some warmth. If we see a child going towards that fire, what will be our normal and natural reaction? We will scream, we will jump, we will divert the child away because the child doesn't understand the consequences of coming near that fire. So, similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a warning, but in a much more greater magnitude, that I am warning you, save yourself and save your families from the fire of Jahannam. And the greatest treasure we have, and I want you to think about it after Salatul Jum'ah, sometime later today, or when you're going to sleep, there is no treasure, there is no wealth that we possess like our iman. Inna deena inda Allahi al-Islam. The greatest wealth, the greatest treasure we have, and that is the wealth of iman. And it's something that Allah gives to whom He wishes. And Allah does not give to whom He wishes. If we look at just one example in the annals of history, and we take the example of our Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's uncle Abu Talib. Abu Talib was a person who was his well-wisher. Abu Talib was a person who was his supporter. Abu Talib is a man who stood by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was an ashik of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a guardian of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He stood by him night and day. He was out there to protect his nephew. This was his brother's son. He loved his brother's son. And his brother's son, our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, loved his uncle also. But when it came to the year of grief, it's called the year of grief or sadness, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam endured not only the demise of his beloved wife Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, which affected him so badly, and it is said that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam for months he never smiled after the demise of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. But more than this, she passed away with iman. But this uncle of his, he was on his deathbed, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to him and implores him that you do what you have to do and I will do the rest. Now you tell a person, just sign this document and I'll sort it out for you. I'll fill in everything there for you. Just sign this here. Leave that to me. Leave the paperwork, the admin to me. You just put your signature there. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam implored him, my chacha, my uncle, just say la ilaha illallah tuflihu. Bring iman in Allah and me. And you, I'll do the rest, I'll intercede for you. And there he sees Abu Jahl looking at him, giving him a warning, that don't leave the deen of your forefathers. What the people will say. You know this, who are those people? What the people will say. And unfortunately, Abu Talib leaves this world on kufr and shirk, on the deen of his forefathers. How this affected Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That a person who he loved and cherished, he could not bring him into iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear to him, Ya Rasulullah, innaka la tahdi man ahbabta, walakinna Allah yahdi man yasha. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you do not give hidayah to whom you wish. It's not your call, it's not your choice, it's not your prerogative. You did your effort, you made the mihnat, you did what you had to do. You toiled, but hidayat we give. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَيَّشَى. We give hidayat to whom we wish. So hidayat is from Allah. Hidayat is a prerogative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again I bring you to what I said earlier, that is there a wealth greater than our iman? If we can reach the finishing line of this temporary abode, if we can reach that finish line, with our iman intact, we have made it. We have made it. Our Ustad, Maulana Qasim Seema, rahmatullah alayh, I don't think there was a single salah that he performed, and after that he made dua, and in his dua, he terminated, Allahumma jal khatimatana ala al-iman. O Allah, make my end with iman. Make my end. And he used to say it with such a passion also, and sometimes more than once, Allahumma jal khatimatana ala al-iman. You could see the desire in his heart in that dua, and the way he recited that dua, that oh Allah, please make sure that I leave this world with iman. And if we have left this world with iman, then the doors are open to us of our maghfirat, of Jannah, from emancipation from the fire of hell, from the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازَ. The one who saved from the fire of hell, he's prevented from the fire of hell, he gets immunity from the fire of hell, فَقَدْ فَازَ, he has been successful. So this is our wealth, our iman. This world is a temporary station. كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ أَوْ عَابِرُ سَبِيلٍ. Be in this dunya like what? Like a stranger. You don't have any familiarity with this place. You here temporarily, we all accept we are here very temporarily. Yes, we have to live in this world. We have to make use of this world. We enjoy the benefits of this world because Allah made it for us. إِنَّ الدُّنْيَا خُلِقَتْ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْآخِرَةِ. This world has been created for you. It has been created for you. The beautiful things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created is for our enjoyment, is for our pleasure, is for our benefit. وَأَنْتُمْ خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْآخِرَةِ. But you haven't been created for the world. Oh man, oh Musliman, you haven't been created for this world. You have been created for the akhirat. الدُّنْيَا سِجْنُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الدُّنْيَا سِجْنُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. What is a prison? This dunya is the prison of a believer. He's imprisoned here. He's incarcerated in this place. He's stuck here. Why? الدُّنْيَا سِجْنُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَجَنَّةُ الْكَافِرِ. But for the kafir, it's a paradise. Because for him, there's no jannah in the akhirah. For him is nari jahannam. Allah is saying, the kafir, the person who dies without iman, he will be in the fire of jahannam khalidina fiha abada. He will remain in the fire of jahannam perpetually. For him, there's no freedom from the fire of hell. There's no coming out from the freedom of hell. For him, he does not have the visa of iman which we possess, alhamdulillah. How often have we made shukr for this iman and Islam? That we got it without asking. We got it without seeking. We got it just that we were born in Muslim homes. Hazrat Maulana Umarji Rahmatullah Ali, one of our senior ulama, well known especially to the elderly generation, he used to make a qurbani annually for a majhool person. Majhool means an unknown person. And who was that qurbani for? And maybe we can take a cue from this also. He used to make a qurbani for the first person in my ancestry who brought iman. Subhanallah. Have our minds even gone in that direction ever? That ya Allah, the first person, I don't know who is he or her, the very first person who brought iman in my ancestry, it's because of that person that Allah gave me hidayat and caused me to be born in a Muslim home. Had that person not been born in a Muslim home, what would have been my condition? Hamara tekana kya? What would have been our condition? But because of that person, I received iman. And there are people who search for iman, who look for iman, years and years they search, and Allah gives them hidayah. And what if that hidayah hasn't reached us? What if it hadn't reached us? Then what would have been our destination? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us iman and Islam. Coming back to what I was saying about our children, that we have to make a concerted effort on our children. We have to go not the extra mile, go the extra 100 miles in ensuring that they have proper aqidah. Aqidah is the fundamental of iman. That they have proper understanding of aqidah. And among one of the most important things which I have mentioned, and my time is up already, what I have mentioned regarding this gay brigade, this pride month as they call it, there is no pride in it. It's mal'oon, it's cursed, there is. But we have to continuously make them understand that our iman and our Islam is far more valuable than this nonsense, this rubbish. It's far more valuable. And we are facing situations now when parents come and tell us that Maulana, my son is gay. They feel hard to say it. What should I do? What must I do? I feel like killing him. I had a father who says, I feel like killing my son. I said, no, you can't do that. You can't. The Anbiya didn't do that. They worked, they made effort. So we have a situation where schools are promoting, non-Muslim schools are promoting openly gay pride. There's a certain school that many of you may have already heard on social media, a very, very distinguished, prestigious public school, where the principal is a male of an all-girls school. And he's an open homosexual. And he's the principal of our Muslim daughters and sisters. Where is our conscience? Where have we gone wrong? Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that the Muslim school may not offer that kind of education. Let's say hypothetically, it's inferior. Let's say. But it's still far better than sending your child to a non-Muslim school. How many a times the only salah that our children read in a Muslim school, we can't say Islamic, there's no Islamic schools. There are Muslim schools where Muslim children go. But that's the only salah that they read in the whole week besides Jumu'ah is the Salat al-Zahar. Because there is no iman in Islam at home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us realize our responsibility. Allah ta'ala, give us understanding of this ayat of the Quran which I discussed. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourself. Save your families from the fire of hell. That's the most important thing, that we reach the finish line with iman. And Muhammad Masihullah rahmatullah alayhi used to say, not only iman, Allah kamil iman ata farma. Complete iman. Bless me with complete iman. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.